Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about the evolution of multiplayer gaming from our retro roots to our VR future. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay. I had a very busy March, which was last month at the time of this podcast recording. And part of that was because I needed to prepare for Hackfort 2022, which was Hackfort 10, something like that.
The second or third attempt, thanks to, you know, reasons.
Reasons, yes. And for this particular Hackfort, I had a booth on the expo floor where I brought in some retro PCs and was kind of promoting the YouTube channel. And we did some overclocking on a Friday.
Very nice.
Got to play some Quake and some Duke Nukem. That was actually fun.
On the retro PCs.
On the retro PCs. So real retro gaming. And then I did a presentation on what I learned about retro PCs, which went a lot faster than I expected. But I'm not much of a good public speaker, at least in my opinion.
Well, you talk fast, I think, when you're in front of people. Lots of people do that.
Yeah. And then we also did a live podcast recording. So if anyone's interested in that, send me a message and I will send you a link to it.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that stuff was pretty cool. And I had an opportunity to back you up for at least one of those days and experience some of that live myself, which was a lot of fun. We do really enjoy spending time with the Hackfort folks.
And in addition to Hackfort and all the things that I did, come to find out, I was the only person with an expo booth that also did presentations at Hackfort. So in addition, I also donated some prizes to a local charity, which was Laurel's Legacy.
Nice.
They were working with the Boise Land folks. The Boise Land was happening at the same time during Hackfort. I gave them some prizes as well to give away at the Land party. So I kind of had the quadfecta of awesome Hackfortness.
So busy. And, you know, I was a little bummed because I had work stuff. So, of course, I couldn't participate as much as I usually would. Dang it. Stupid work's always interrupting my playtime.
Oh, my God.
But I did get down to have a chance to check it out. And I was actually most bummed that I didn't get to participate in the LAN party myself.
Same here. Although we did pop in because they were right behind the expo floor. And I noticed a few things at this particular LAN party.
It was a little different, I have to admit.
And it was the first one after the situation, so I would suppose some people are a little gun-shy about attending events like that.
Yeah, I get that. It's a little hard to get out.
And on top of that, it was during Hackfort, and the price was a little higher than normal, so that might have been a kind of a sticker shock for some folks.
Right.
But as we were walking around, I noticed some things, and that we had a lot of really, really high-end PCs that may or may not have had not-so-high-end components in them.
How so?
Well, we have a couple of really, really pretty builds, and I don't have any pictures of it, but then again, this is radio. But inside were, you know, kind of average video cards.
So what you're saying is they had pretty cases?
Pretty cases, some pretty lights, some nice all-in-one coolers, RGB lights, and stuff like that. So in terms of the builds, we had basically kind of your standard LAN party flair.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with that, but I felt like what I'm seeing is a polarization in the market of what everybody thinks a high-end PC should look like.
That's true, because we have the YouTubers that are all about, hey, it's the build. We're modding now, but really you're just building.
Yeah.
Because people don't really mod as much as they used to because they don't need to.
But you can buy RGB cables now.
Well, they're kind of not really cables. They're more like covers.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But that makes it custom, right?
Yeah, it does. And the one thing that I've noticed, and this has been going on for a while, is that people love the white cases.
I like white cases.
Yeah, I know. I bring this up because you like the white stuff. But these folk are taking white chassis and white builds to the extreme.
Well, you can get RGB white reservoirs with white cables in your white AIOs now.
Right.
Which is kind of, well, I guess if you don't count the motherboards, somebody needs to make a white motherboard.
Actually, that was the point I was getting at, was that we have these covers now that go over the motherboard, you know, because you can get some of like the Tough series from Asus where they have covers or full coverage to, you know, hide the ugly PCB.
Right.
Well, some of these folks are actually replacing those with white covers. So the only black that's on there is maybe a couple of cables, a couple of screws, and maybe the expansion slot.
Oh, that makes me miss the old LAN party motherboards and some of those early Soltec designs.
Oh, yeah. I love that kind of stuff. But those builds aside, when I was walking around, I noticed that not everybody was playing the same game, which is not uncommon for the Boise LAN.
It is, but I feel like it's kind of moved in the wrong direction. And I think that part of the problem there is there isn't really one polarizing LAN game like there used to be.
No, not like Unreal Tournament or Quake 4, Quake 3.
Yeah, or even your Dooms or the early Battlefield games or Call of Duty games where you could get everybody playing all at once.
Does that make us sound retro?
It kind of does, although all those games are generating new titles every year, almost like a Madden game, right?
Well, yeah, we have Call of Duty every year, and the gameplay is basically the same. The only thing that changes is maybe where it's at and some of the balance and weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah, I feel like we've almost reached the point where they could just put out annual map packs and an occasional engine upgrade like Madden, which is a little sad. All right, maybe a lot sad.
Or maybe they do that already.
Could be.
That's cool. So the one thing I noticed at the LAN party, and speaking of games, is that we had a couple of folks playing the Tiny Tina Adventure, which is part of Borderlands 3.
Right.
I'm resisting even trying that because I don't like Borderlands 3 as much as 2, which is kind of crazy.
But it looks like it's more like 2 than 3. I'm kind of interested.
No.
But of course, we've been replaying Borderlands 2, which, we should come back to that.
We should. There was a crew that was playing, I think, Valorant.
Yeah.
And they were also broadcasting. So they had the professional mics out. They brought in the fancy chairs so that, they look like they were a crew. Instead of playing in their basement or, bedroom or whatever for that weekend, they were playing at the Boise LAN, which was great. Good support for the LAN party, but they were all kind of by themselves.
Well, I think this is a new trend because they weren't the only ones. There were a lot of folks that were broadcasting while they were playing, mm-hmm. and a handful of them that were there at the LAN but playing multiplayer games with their clan or crew or whatever that weren't there.
Yeah, well, yeah, Sea of Thieves. The Sea of Thieves guy was doing that. And Sea of Thieves, if you don't know, can be up to a 4-player game. You can play by yourself, but you basically squad up with your Xbox Live crew, and then you say, okay, let's get into a map, and then you could pick your ship and go roam the high seas and cause havoc or go raiding.
Now, you and I have played Sea of Thieves off and on, but it is kind of re-emerging again as a popular online game.
But with all that being said, that kind of breaks why you would go to a LAN party to begin with. In the way that the LAN parties used to be, for instance, with the Boise Frag Fest and whatnot, you would hold tournaments and everybody that was at the LAN would play that game for prizes and whatnot.
Absolutely. And you may have brought up one of the death knolls of the LAN party, the reason that these LANs are not growing like they used to. Well, let's go down history lane a little bit with LAN party games. Now, you and I have been involved with the LAN culture, for a long time, right?
Yeah, off and on.
So when we first got started, there were games like, original Battlefields and whatever, but we talk about unifying games. One of the major unifying games was Unreal Tournament.
Yes, that was one of the premier LAN party games. What was it? 64 players per map or 32 a team or something like that?
Yeah, now Unreal Tournament would support up to 32, and there were game modes that were smaller, or you could play them smaller, which lent itself to if you want to do an 8 or a 10-on-10 tournament or whatever, it was supported.
Yeah, Onslaught was one of my favorite game genres of that era.
Maybe not as popular as the Battlefield games, which, by the way, would also support 16-on-16 or 32-on-32 or now 120-ish, if you can find enough players.
Well, and before that, it was actually just flat-out deathmatch because you would have Quake and Quake 2. So you could still have 16 players in a map, but it was all against all. It wasn't really team at all.
So I want to focus on that a little bit because 16 sounds so small compared to some of those games I've talked to. And as an example of that, I want to take us all the way to the end of the scale on the largest game. You want to venture a guess what the largest multiplayer game would look like? Or even what it is?
EVE Online?
Oh, that's a great guess, and it's wrong.
Oh my God.
But it is a great guess.
Yep.
PlanetSide 2 holds the Guinness Book World Record for the most simultaneous players in an online game playing together in single combat, or at least PlanetSide three-sided asymmetrical combat with how many players?
Something like 1,100 and some change?
You've got it exactly right. 1,158 players is the world record held by PlanetSide 2. And wow. Dennis, it's free to play. Now, some would say it has a little bit of a pay-to-win element. And I feel like, you know, if you have an experienced PlanetSide, I used to pay to play. It's probably the only online game I've ever paid to play. So maybe, I don't know, check it out. But that's almost 1,200 players.
That's a lot of people in a single map. And what is it, like World of Warcraft hasn't even matched that.
No, but we should caveat that, of course, PlanetSide isn't a LAN party game.
No, it's definitely an online-only sort of game.
So let's reel that back in and talk about popular LAN party games, or even popular competitive games right now, and their player counts, because I think you're going to see a pattern here.
Okay.
Let's try League of Legends. How many players?
League of Legends is five players aside.
Five players aside. How about Valorant? That's pretty popular.
Valorant. We had some people at the LAN party playing that, I believe.
They were, yeah.
And the team size is five.
Five. Woo!
Yay.
Okay. Let's go a little bit of a classic. One of the all-time greats, right? Counter-Strike GO.
Counter-Strike GO.
It's got to be more, right?
Well, you would think, because the original Counter-Strike back in LAN party days, right, was something like 8 or something like that. 4 against 4, 10 against 10 or something.
I'll just give it to you. 5 players.
Well, so it hasn't changed.
So let's even reel that in a little bit more. My beloved Battlefield, gasp.
2042 or 5 or 4 or which one?
2042.
Yep.
Well, it's still kind of struggling to find its place in the world. It has squads of, guess how many players?
Two.
Four. That's right.
Four.
According to all of the popular games, and I'm using all loosely, you can't have more than four friends. It's just not okay. Three if you play Battlefield.
Interesting. So now I know that there can be more than 8 people in a Battlefield game.
There can.
So that means that we have multiple squads of just 4 people playing together.
Well, if you can figure out how to play together. And we talked a little bit about this when we talked about Battlefield 2142 before, but one of the major problems with the game is that you can't join your friends if their squad is already full. That means if you and 3 of your other friends are playing, because you only get 3.
Oh, right. Well, three puts yourself.
And a fourth who might think he's your friend wants to join you. They can't.
Well, and I mean, if you have 4 slots, obviously you can't have 5.
Right. But they can't even join the same game you're in or the same server or play on the same side and start their own squad to play with you.
Oh, yeah.
So
that seems to be broken.
So maybe Battlefield 2142 is just the next step in the decline of multiplayer gaming. And most definitely focused in online play, which, again, strikes back to the death of LAN party gaming. Because when we used to play Battlefield, we used to play 8-on-8, 10-on-10, 5-on-5 in the LAN.
You would need to be able to get enough people that came to the LAN to be able to play in the same game. Or you'd be having separate maps, and then, okay, the winners from there get to play the winners from here, and the losers get to play here, and then you have double elimination. But that kind of fragments the whole reason to be together in the same building to begin with.
So 5 players seems to be the prevalent number of players. But now let's talk about some of the more popular titles. And some of these are titles that you and I have some interest in. Let's start with the hottest game right now, Elden Ring.
This is a kind of a game that I don't think I would play. One, it's third person. And it was based off of Dark Souls, which that's like a punishing game just to be.
Yeah, has a rep for being tough.
Yeah, it's tough just because it wants to be tough.
Well, I don't think anybody that's listening to this podcast can avoid Elden Ring videos because they're everywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
Facebook, whatever, the streamers, everybody's playing it. But as you mentioned already, it's third person isometric view, maybe?
Something like that. And as I've read, it is the MMORPG, so massively multiplayer online role-playing game, which means, in a sense, kind of like World of Warcraft, where you're all in the same world, and you can squad together to go and do stuff.
But it's not even that. That's the thing. So, one, I can't believe that you can release a game today that's in third person that doesn't have a first person option. So, if you're out there listening, Elden Ring, you're not getting my money. until you figure that out.
Well, they already got 12 million copies sold. So
damn them. But anyway, you know, to join another player is actually not that simple. You can't just squad up and join a game. You have to, I guess, stick an invitation up.
Oh, that's right. You have to go and sit
in. Invite people to join your game and hope that they're not cheating and are friendly and might want to help you.
Yeah, because there's this coming back to me. It's like you can start a single player game, which will allow you to jump into the world
online only.
And they say that it takes about 100 hours to go and do everything that you want.
Sure, and I think you have to play a certain number of hours before you can even play multiplayer. But I can't. Don't quote me on that.
I'm not sure on that one. Mm-hmm. But then as you're playing, you can say, hey, I want somebody else to help me with this boss fight. And that's where if you go and put your thumb out and you're sitting in the lobby, once an invitation opens up, then you can join somebody else's game already in play.
So if your friends are there and they see it, they can join you, but so can anyone else.
Right. Because we do have the player versus player where you're all on the same map, so you can be playing by yourself, but then here comes Joe Schmo coming in to go grief you or leave a sign next to a cliff saying, hey, jump here for special gear.
Which I have to admit is kind of funny, but it hasn't happened to me.
This is kind of a different way of handling multiplayer because it's a classic MMO where you can run into people that are also playing or you can just totally avoid them.
Yeah, and what I don't like about it is that you can't really particularly join somebody and co-op with them without jumping through some hoops. Mm-hmm. So again, not LAN party friendly.
Nope.
Requires online. Mm-hmm. And on a good day, you can co-op with your friends, at least until that area is beat.
Right. Well, what about Borderlands?
Okay, I think that's great because I mentioned this earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I played the heck out of Borderlands 2 and a little bit of the other Borderlands titles, some better than others. And
yeah. Borderlands 1, I couldn't get into, but I completed it in single player. Mm-hmm. But in Borderlands 2, we have basically squads of four.
Yeah.
A four-way co-op.
And interestingly enough, you could LAN party it if you had it on the PC. Mm-hmm. Or, shocker, as I've been playing lately with my wife, you can do couch co-op, Dennis.
Couch co-op. Explain to me what couch co-op is, because that seems new.
Well, couch co-op is kind of a fun slang term for side-by-side gaming, which is also, ironically, a dying breed, much like the LAN party.
Well, it's been around since the Atari 2600.
So what couch gaming is, or couch co-op is the ability to, and it primarily comes from console, although a lot of PC games do it too, primarily the chance to sit next to somebody and play on the same PC or console on the same TV together. Now, there are staple games like this that have been around for a while, but a lot of them are sort of console-esque, like Dungeon Defenders or Diablo or that type of thing. But recently, there haven't been a lot of these games. Now, Dennis is bringing up a list of top couch co-op games, and there are some games on here that are pretty good. Castle Crashers, Diablo Rocket 3. League is pretty hot if you treat that as, well, all sports games in theory should be, right?
And we have Overcooked 2.
Overcooked 2?
Yeah, where you're in a scene, basically, and you're supposed to be fulfilling cooking orders. So you could have up to four or two players or something like that. And if you specialize in doing one aspect of it, then you can get a much higher score than if you're trying to run around and grab sandwich making supplies from each one of the different stations. And they start to add a bit of difficulty to it where like one map would have a train and you'd have one make station on one train car that's going back and forth. And then another train car has the other making station and you have to pass things back and forth.
Interesting.
So that is one where you can play on the same computer, but you play like a console.
Well, I think what's more telling is that the games like that are so hard to find. As I mentioned earlier, the wife and I have been playing Borderlands 2, which has been a lot of fun, a nice nostalgia trip, and we kind of started that in anticipation of maybe picking up the new Tiny Tina.
Oh, yeah, Borderlands 3. Oh, my gosh.
Woo! So anyway, we are now about done with it, so we went to look for something else, and we looked at Dying Light 2.
Would you be able to play that on the console?
Yeah.
Or is that going to be a PC where you have to have two computers?
Well, that's the thing. No couch co-op, only online. Now, of course, sports games are out. You're not going to sit and play ice hockey or Madden like we talked about earlier because that's not our gig. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a lot out there. Ratchet and Clank was the only thing that we could find and nothing newer, which is scary. And when we look at that list of co-op games that you've got up on the screen there, I want to point out the dates of all these top co-op games. And there is almost nothing. In fact, right there, you've got only one game with a 2021, and it's It Takes Two, which is really a two-player game. Mm-hmm. A great one, by the way, if you're into the theme.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, well, we got Rocket League 2015, Rayman Legends 2013, Cuphead 2017. I thought that was an older game, actually.
Yeah.
And then Castle Crashers 2006, Diablo 3 2012, although I thought that was out in like 2008. Maybe that was Diablo 2.
Yeah, it could be. But I mean, we're just talking nothing new. And when I think about what my kids play side by side, it's silly little stuff like Stick Fighter. I mean, there's just not really anything out there.
Well, and I would say that some of that is coming from Steam and how we can play games over Steam. You know, Steam has made it real easy to play multiplayer games and to design games, which is why these ones that we just mentioned are so popular.
Well, I'm telling you, Dennis, the world is moving away from playing in the same place. No LAN parties, mm-hmm. no friends over, only online. You got to stream, because why wouldn't you?
It's kind of the new way of playing games because we like watching people play games, so we want to do what we are familiar with.
But I just am so shocked that even with the rise of streaming, the rise of online gaming, that we are still restricting in our most popular games to an average of 5 players a side. Mm-hmm. That means that you and 4 of your friends is the maximum amount of people that for the most part in any popular game you can get together. Now, there are, of course, exceptions, but this is the general rule.
I do remember back in the day when we would talk about Unreal Tournament 3, for instance, supporting 64 players on a map. When you got onto one of those servers, a lot of times you would get high amount of lag just because the server couldn't keep up with all those players moving all over the place.
Well, yeah, there is that, but the machines have matured. And let's not forget that Crysis had multiplayer.
Well, that's true. But Crysis was mostly like punishing on your machine, not really punishing on the server side of things.
Well, that's true.
So I would say that maybe this 5-player limit is based off of a trend.
I figure there are probably a couple things. Now, here's my theory, right? Well, number one is it's very difficult to balance larger teams, especially in games like CSGO or Valorant or even League, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you could have a lot of high-level players on one team and a couple of low-level players all playing against a bunch of noobs.
And ironically, I think that might be what the Battlefield designers were trying to do when they screwed everything up so badly, right? Is keep those teams from getting stacked. But it doesn't change the fact, Dennis, that what we're doing is we're making it harder and harder to game together. Gaming clans are failing because you can't get everybody in the same game together. There are no big support games. Games like, PlanetSide show that there's a demand out there, but even in PlanetSide, it's kind of a free-for-all if you don't have an organized group of buddies. You can play it that way.
Well, and that brings up why I don't like playing multiplayer games for the most part, is because when I'm with the team, you know, obviously you need to play as a team.
Right.
But if you don't have your teammates with you and you just join a game and you get squatted up with some other people, again, you want to play as a team, but if you don't know this person or how they play, it's really difficult to be a team player, so to speak. I try to avoid that just because it's really hard for me to enjoy the game that I'm playing when I have to also deal with the people that I'm squatted up with.
Well, and you make a good point because it is very difficult sometimes to find a good group of people to play with. You know, we're all busy and getting older. We don't have the time like we used to. So can you really get 8 of your friends to play together? Maybe not. Maybe that's kind of the point, is they want to get you out there with the total strangers, which is that's kind of a scary thought now that I think about it.
If we start to think about the future of multiplayer gaming, we mentioned already how couch co-op seems to be gone.
Oh, yeah. Even on the console, which is crazy. I mean, what's the point? I thought that was the whole purpose of consoles.
And we have kind of this LAN party scene, which is, it's great to get people together in the same building and hang out and do things. Like the Boise LAN, the first couple that we attended was a little bit of LAN party gaming. And then everybody would break and go out and play dodgeball and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of interactive contests and whatnot.
And that's kind of also gone away. But I think some of that is just the situation and how everybody has really evolved into their new way of doing things.
But it's really killing a lot of the scene and a lot of the social aspect of even the online scene. I can't even begin to tell you how frustrating it is to be in a room with more than three people trying to play Battlefield.
Yeah, well, there isn't a lot of yelling going on, so there is that.
There can be.
Now, with Elden Ring, for instance, kind of changing the way that you play this multiplayer game in a multiplayer world, it kind of brings up an interesting thought that I had. And it's like, well, if you can't do couch co-op and you're just kind of online playing, what is to say that we can't just do that all in VR?
Ooh, the future is here, maybe.
So you could do a couch co-op. You could sit on the couch next to somebody with a VR headset, and that is your view into the world. So that way you don't have to worry about split screen and whatnot.
I feel like we've talked about this before, that the consoles and even the screens on our computers are sort of a dying breed. Mm-hmm. And it's not happening fast enough. I mean, we're still buying bigger, faster, wide screens and whatnot.
Yeah, you got like, what, the 34 times 2 now?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're up to pretty good speeds now. I mean, there's 300 megahertz plus monitors out there.
Unfortunately, with the virtual reality headsets, we are limited in refresh, and they are based off of mobile devices, so we have limited speed. And the graphics aren't really that great in certain games where you have a lot of movement going on. So there is a lot left to be desired for VR in terms of the way we game with it.
But it's still pretty new. And I mean, think about where your kids are playing. A lot of them are used to playing phone games and 8-bit stuff. So to them, I don't think the graphics are as important as they are to some of us enthusiasts.
And if we go back to, say, retro gaming, we have Quake. The graphics were not that great when you compare it to, say, Battlefield 5.
Well, of course not. But we survived it somehow, and right, we still go back to play them, as evidenced by your retro PC movement.
And of course, as VR becomes more and more affordable, I mean, you can get a Quest 2 for like $300, or if you want a used one, you can get it for like $2.
Yeah, it's certainly cheaper than a gaming build, especially with the prices these days.
Yeah, and as it advances, we're going to have things like, oh, what is it? Metaverse, which is what? Ready Player One in the real world. And we can buy virtual plots of land.
Virtual plots of land.
And go and play virtual games, which would be kind of fun. So that way you can actually play different styles of games instead of what one game development company adapted to a VR headset. I really think that that might be the future of what multiplayer gaming will become. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.